Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Mem Hei. We're going to begin 7 lines from the top on Mem Hei Amud Aleph with the words V'Rabbanon Nami. But let's back up and understand exactly where we left off yesterday. So yesterday at the end of the shiur we brought down that there was no ability for Rabbi Akiva to darshan out as a binyanav to go and learn out the din of Hetev Mitzarev Le'itzer from the din of Mishras from the Nazir, that the Nazir, we said that if you eat a half a kezias of heter with a half a kezias of itzer, it combines. So we said you couldn't generalize that to call a Torah Kula to learn out this principle of heter mitzarev l'itzer according to Rabbi Akiva, because there was a shnei ksuvim, there was another pasuk, and shnei ksuvim abon kiechot em lamdim. What was the other pasuk? We said by Nazir. According to Rabbi Akiva, you had that when you have a chatos and another carbon, let's say a shlamim, they get mixed together, so you have the stringencies of the stricter one, even though you don't have the full shear of the stricter one, so we said that was also heter mitzarev l'isser. So therefore, this was two separate psukim, one by Nazir, one by Chatas, to tell me this principle of heter mitzarev l'isser, so therefore, this is shnei ksuvim boim kiachot, and shnei ksuvim boim kiachot, ein melamdim. You can't make a general rule, because if the Torah wanted to make a general rule, just tell it to me by one of them. The fact that you tell it to me by both of them tells me don't make it into a general rule. So that's what we said at the end of yesterday's shiur, why Rabbi Akiva didn't generalize out from Mishras, the extra word by Nazir, to come to generalize it that het mitzvah lisser throughout the Torah, because you also had the same concept by Chatos. So that's why Rabbi Akiva didn't do it. Now we pick up 7 lines from the top, Nem Heim and Aleph, the Rabbanon who learned out from the word Mishras, they learned out a different din, not Hetim Etzdarv Le'isser, but they learned out that you can have Tam Ki'ikar. We said that if you have just a taste inside something, and that taste is, let's say, Isser, so then that Isser is viewed as if it was Mamish, if it was a real substantive, and therefore Tam Ki'ikar. It's as if it was real Mamish in there, and there's Isser in there, it goes and makes the entire thing usher. So the Chachamim had used Mishras to teach us that general din of Tam Kiker can be learned out as a binyanav for Mishras to everything else. So Gemara says, how come the Rabbanan don't have the same problem that Rabbi Akiva had? Rabbi Akiva said, I can't learn it out because of Shnei Ksuvim Boim Kiechad. I can't learn out Hetim Etzdarv Le'isser because of Shnei Ksuvim. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan Nami. Nehevi Nozir V'chata Shnei Ksuvim Boim Kiechad. Shnei Ksuvim Boim Kiechad Eim Melandin. And therefore, the same reason that Rabbi Akiva couldn't generalize his din of Hetim Etzdarv Le'isser, we should say the same thing to the Chachamim. You can't be generalizing your din of Tam Ki'ikar L'kol HaTorah Kula, because it's also Shnei Ksuvim. You have the same exact thing from the Chatas, that the Chatas and the Shlamim, when they're together, one absorbs into the other, we should say Tam Ki'ikar. And that's why, by the Chatas, it's also a Shnei Ksuvim, a second pasuk that comes to teach us this same idea, and therefore you shouldn't be able to generalize Tam Ki'ikar. So what do the Chacham say about that? So the word says, Amri, the Chacham would respond, and they say, no, Hanu, these two, mitzrach tzricha, you needed to write each one, and therefore it's not Shnei Ksuvim. Since it's necessary to write each one, you can still learn out through a binyanav, l'kol HaTorah Kula, the Tam Ki'ikar. Now, we'll explain this in a moment, but first the Gemara says, why doesn't Rabbi Akiva say the same thing that the Chacham say? The Chacham say, no, it's not a problem of Shnei Ksuvim Boim Ki'achad, and in fact, you can be melamdin. So, for Rabbi Akiva, why does he not say the same answer? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, he says, no, I disagree with you. You're telling me, Hanach mitzruch tzrichei. I'll tell you it's not true. My tzrichei. Why are you telling me that you need both of them? I hear you part of the way, but not the whole way. Bishlama, I can understand. If the Torah had only written it by Chatas, I understand why you wouldn't. Well, you would need a second statement to be said by Nazir. Because lo gomar Nazir, mina. You can't learn out a din of Nazir, which is by chulin, to the din of chatas, which is by kachin. The chulin, mi kachin, lo gamrina. So therefore, the Torah has to tell me, specifically again, by Nazir, if you want to generalize something. Gotcha, no problem. However, so just write it by Nazir. And lelichta one of Nazir, only tell me the din by Nazir, and you can learn out kachin from Nazir. That's not a problem. Kachin can be learned out from chulin. If a din is by chulin, certainly it applies by kachin. Vitesei chatos the sigmar mine. And therefore, you don't have to write it by chatos at all. Have the Torah just write mishras by Nazir, and I'll learn out, again, across all the Torah, that this din applies, whether it's Tam Ki'ikor, or whether it's Hetim Etzdarv Le'isser. Vitesei chatos the sigmar mine. And then you don't need to write it by chatos. And everything could be learned out from Nazir. So that's why Rabbi Akiva says, it's not Mitzrach Tzricha. You didn't have to write it by Chatos. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote it by Chatos to come to tell me that it's Shnei Ksuv Mabayim Kiyachim, Shnei Ksuv Mabayim Kiyachim, Reim Lelam Din. So that's why Rabbi Akiva tells me that the din of Hetem Mitzrach Lissa is only a din by Nazir because of Shnei Ksuvim. And you can't generalize it to call it Torah Kula. The Chachamim, as we just said, disagreed. The Chachamim said, Hanu Mitzrach Tzrichi. So what exactly is the Rabban and Svara that they disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and they say, no, you have to write it by Chatas, and you have to write it by Nazir. So Gemara says, Rabbanon, Amiloch Mitzvot Tzrichi. They do say both the necessary. And here is why. Because they say, you need the Pasuk by Chatas to teach me Lehet Mitzdarif Le'Isser. The Pasuk by Chatas is coming to teach me that Heter is Mitzdarif Le'Isser. That's what you need it for, just like Rabbi Akiva says. However, they say, furthermore, that the Mishras is not to teach us the same thing. So it's not Shnei Ksuvim. But why can't you generalize it out from Chatos? Because V'chulin mikachim lo gomai. You can't generalize it out because it's a din by kachim. Kachim is a mila that the others don't have, so you can't say it's a binyanah. And therefore, they can't learn this out in all the other areas of the Torah because it's only by kachim. Hetu mitzdarif lisa by kachim, but you can't learn it out to chulin. Fine. That's what all that they do with that pasuk. They don't compare it to Nazir because Mishras by Nazir, that isn't have, according to the Chacham, anything to do with Hetem Mitzdarif Le'Isser. Mishras by the Pasuk by Nazir is Li Tein Tam Ki Ikar. The purpose there is to teach us Tam Ki Ikar. And Mikana to Don, L'chol HaTorah Kula. And here you can learn it out to the rest of the Torah. And that's why they use Mishras to teach me Tam Ki Ikar. And they use the Chatas to teach me Hetem Mitzdarif Le'Isser, but only by Kachim. No, why does Rabbi Akiva learn it like that? Rabbi Akiva, he would respond as follows. He would say, Tavayu lehet mitzav lisa. No, he says, no, I hold that this is Shnei Ksuvim Bo'an Kiachot. Both Mishras as well as Kachim is to teach me this din of Hetem Mitzav Lisa. And therefore, V'havu lehu Shnei Ksuvim Bo'an Kiachot, and we have the rule, V'chol Shnei Ksuvim Bo'an Kiachot, Ein Milam Dim. So it's a different understanding what each of these psukim is coming to teach us. According to Rabbi Akiva, they're both teaching the same thing, and therefore it's not Milam Dim. According to the Chachamim, each is teaching something else. The Chatas is teaching me Hetem Mitzdarif Le'Isser by Kachim, and Mishras is coming to tell me Tam Ki'ikar, and since there is no other pasuk, you can darshan it out. Tam Ki'ikar L'Kolat Torah Kula. Mori says, we still got one problem. Amal Ravashi Rav Kana, Ravashi says Rav Kana, based upon what you're telling us, Eloha D'Tanya, how does Rabbi Akiva's din fit in with the following? We learned in another brisa, it says, by the Nazir, Mikol Asher Yosef Migefen Ayayin, from anything is made from grapes, migefen ayayin, including mecharzanim viadzog, including the skins and the pits. Now, it says in this pasuk, one time you're not allowed to eat it, mecharzanim, which is one type of isser, and zog, which is another type of isser. So the pasuk tells me you can be mitzdarif isser le'isser. Limid al isser nazir shemitzdarif im zem zeh. So this pasuk is needed to tell me that you can be mitzdarif a half a kizayis, let's say, of chartzanim with a half a kizayis of zog to make the full shear of isser of a nazir. Now, if, the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva holds as follows, hashtol, Rabbi Akiva, isser v'hetem mitzdarifim. Rabbi Akiva learns after the word mishras that isser is able to be mitzdarif to heter to make the shear of isser. So you have a half a shear of heter and a half a shear of isser. It can combine to make the full shear of isser. So then, why would I need a pasuk to tell me that Isser v'Isser can combine? Isser v'Isser mibayi? I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that. So why do you have this pasuk, Mechartzanim v'Yadzog, which is needed to tell me that Isser can combine with Isser to make the full shear? Half Isser can combine to the full shear of Isser. So in this situation, if you're telling me that the pasuk told me already that Hetem Mitzdarif Le'Isser because of Mishras, I wouldn't need this pasuk. It would be obvious. If Heter can combine to make the full shear of Isser with a half a shear of Isser, then Allah has kama v'kama, can Isser combine with the other half shear of Isser to make the shear of Isser? So since we do have this pasuk, Mechartzanim Adzog, it must be that Rabbi Akiva is wrong, and that Heter is not mitzdarif l'Isser. Why would I need to psuk him? So Gemara says, Rav Kahana would respond to that, and he says, no, you need the two psukim. You need Mishras to tell me that Heter is mitzdarif to Isser, and you need Mechartzanim Adzog to tell me that Isser is mitzdarif to Isser, because they're not the same cases. Amalei, Rav Kahana would say, Isser v'Heter, when do Isser and Heter combine? When is Heter mitzdarif to Isser? Bevasachas, you have to eat them together. You have to have the bread with the soaked in wine inside of it to be half of the shear of the bread, half the shear of the wine, to make the full shear of Isser that the Nazir would be chayiv for. That's Bevasachas, if you only eat them together. But Isser combines with Isser. If I had a half a kezayis of Zog, and then I had a half a kezayis of Chatzanim afterwards, that also applies. Isser, Bezachazet, even if they're not together. If you have a half a piece of bread, and then you have a half a piece of wine, so half the share of bread, half the share of wine, but you don't eat them together, they don't combine. But the half a share of Isser, and then you have another half a share of Isser afterwards, then the Zogim and the Chatzanim do combine. That's why you need two Psukim, and Rabbi Akiva is okay. With that, we conclude this discussion of Hetem Mitzvah Isser and Tam Kikar according to Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan, and we begin the next Mishnah. Now, the next Mishnah deals back again with Chometz. Botzek, if you have a piece of dough, which again has the potential for being Osir on Pesach, but this piece of dough is Shebesidke Areva. It's within cracks. Sedek is a crack of a trough, let's say a kneading trough or some sort of a bowl, a large bowl, a large trough. Now, this dough, this batzek, would normally be chametz. If you had an extant piece of dough inside a bowl, so of course it's chametz. But here we're talking about that it's actually like filling in the crack of this areva. You're like plastering in this crack with the dough. So, the Mishnah tells us, im yesh kizayis b'mokom echad, if you have in one place a kizayis worth of dough, i.e. something significant, so then, chayev levar, you got to get rid of it, you got to be mevar it, because that would be owning chametz on Pesach. However, v'im lo, if it's less than a kezayis, it's considered insignificant, and batel b'miyuto, and it can be, so to say, absorbed within the trough, and not considered significant as a separate entity, but it's trough, and the trough is not osur. That's the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah then says, v'chein le'inyan hatumma. We'll have to explain in the Gemara what it means, v'chein, and likewise, but for now, we'll just read it straight. It says, the same halach applies to tumma, but it doesn't give us the same halacha, because the first part of the Mishnah said it has to do with the size, whether it's kezayis or not. And now in Tumah, we see it has nothing to do with size. Chelin in Tumah, it says, and likewise in regards to Tumah, im makpid olav, if you're upset that it's there, you do not want it to be there, you're makpid, you don't want that dough there. So then, if you're makpid, then it shouldn't be there. If you're makpid olav, so then chotzeis, it's considered chatzitza. So let's say this trough was Tumah, and you're putting it in a mikvah to be metairit, so you're not allowed to have a chatzitza on it, because that will prevent the water from getting to that part of the trough, that there's a chatzitza, an interposition between the water and that part of the utensil. So if you're makbid that you do not want that dough over there, then it's a chatzitza, and your tefillah will not work. Likewise, im rotze bikiyumo, if you do in fact want it to be there, because let's say there's a crack over there, and you want this to fill in the crack, so you bedafka want it to be there, im rotze bikiyumo, then it is subordinate to the rest of the trough. Harei hu kareva. So we have the two parts of this mission. The first part's talking about whether you're obligated to get rid of the chametz, and there we use the share of a kezayis. The second part, in regards to tumah, it depends whether you're makbid on it or not. And the Gemara will ask, then why did we say the lashon v'chein? Because they're really the same thing. Anyway, let's start the Gemara right now. We're going to have two interpretations as to where these cracks are in order for these dinim to apply. Now, let me give you a little overview first as to how we're going to look at this trough, and then we're subsequently going to change it. We're going to start off in saying that the trough has two parts to it. You have the part of the trough at the bottom, where you have what we will be calling the lashon of asuyin l'chazek or osuy l'chazek, which means that it's there at the bottom to hold things. You want to put the water and the flour over there when you're kneading it in this trough, so therefore you can't have anything spill out, so you don't want any cracks there, you don't want any holes, and therefore that's the area at the bottom called l'chazek. And then you have the area above that where you're not really storing anything there, and that is called the wall area towards the top, and that's the area that's not l'chazek. And we're going to start off assuming that there's only two parts. There's a part that's at the bottom, and then there's the part towards the top. We'll ultimately say that there are three areas, and that will be a resolution to what will be a contradiction, but we'll wait a few moments till we get there. Right now, we're assuming there's two parts of this trough. There's the bottom part, l'chazek, and then there's the upper part, the walls, that normally don't store anything within them, and therefore your interest in whether a crack is there or not is different. So, we'll have two ways to understand this. The first way is Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel as follows. Then we'll have a second interpretation of what Shmuel said. So the first interpretation is Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu El B'Makom She'en Asuyim L'Chazek, that which we said in our Mishnah, that we're not concerned it is less than a kezayis. We're only concerned that there's more than a kezayis. Im yesh kezayis b'makum echot chay levayer. That's talking about lo shanu ela b'makum she'ein asuyin l'chazek. That which we say that if it's more than a kezayis, you got to get rid of it, is on the upper part, the top part of this trough, which is not made l'chazek, which is not normally storing anything in it. It's just the wall. It's the upper part of the trough. And you don't really need to have it so well filled in. And therefore, if you have a kezayis in that area, it is something that you got to get rid of. Yeah, the less than a kezayis, you're still not, it's not important. It still can be considered to be nullified within the rest of this wall of the trough. But that's in the upper half. Avo b'bokum shasui l'chazek, or as Rashi says, osui l'chazek, if you're dealing over here with the bottom part, where you really don't want any sort of cracks over there at all. So then in the bottom part, ain't no chayiv levayer, you don't have to be mevayered, even if it's more than a kezayis. So when the Mishnah had qualified in the ratio of the Mishnah and said, if you have a kezayis, you got to get rid of it. If you don't have a kezayis, you don't have to get rid of it. That's only talking about the top part of the trough. In the bottom part of the trough, even a kezayis or more is subordinate to the trough, because that's really where you want it to absolutely be pristine and not have any cracks in it. And therefore, even more than a kezayis is subordinate in the bottom part of the trough. Therefore, the implication of Shmuel's statement is as follows. Miklal, we can learn from Shmuel that when you have the pachos mikezayis, afilu b'makum she'en osu l'chazek enu chay levar. According to this more lenient interpretation that we just said, never is less than a kezayis something that is a problem. If you have less than a kezayis, even in the upper part, it's not a problem. Allah has kama v'kama. In the lower part, where even more than a kezayis is not a problem. This is the first interpretation of our Mishnah. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Others, however, say that Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel learned it differently. Ika demasti lo seifa. They learned this statement of Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel as follows. They said, the im lav batel b'miyuto. You go on the second part of the statement, that if there's not a kezayis, im lav, there's not a kezayis, then it's batel, because it's insignificant, b'miyuto. And on that part of the Mishnah, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, he said as follows, lo shanu ela b'makum me'osi l'chazik, that this din, that more than a kezayis is a problem, but less than a kezayis is not a problem, is not on the upper part, like we said it in the first interpretation of Amar Yehuda Mishwul, but according to the second interpretation, it's going on the bottom. Lo shanu ela b'makum me'asi l'chazek, that more than a kezayis ruins it even on the bottom. It's only less than a kezayis that doesn't ruin it on the bottom. Avo b'makum she'en asu l'chazek, on the top part, which is not made for holding, there, chay levar, even if it's less than a kezayis. So again, miklal, you see from the second version of Amar Yehuda Mishwul, that a kezayis is always going to be no good. Even in the bottom, a kezayis always has to be gotten rid of. So again, the difference between the first and second part is twofold. What is it then always by a kezayis? The first version said that a kezayis could sometimes be batel as well, if it's on the lower part. The second version says a kezayis can never be batel. And the first version said that less than a kezayis is always batel. And the second version said, only on the bottom is less than a kezayis batel. On the top, even less than a kezayis is not batel. These are the two versions of Amar Yehuda Mishmul, and we have a brisa in support of each one. Tanya Kalishna Kama and Tanya Kalishna Basra. There's a brisa that supports both the first way of looking at it, the more lenient way, and there's a brisa that supports the second way, the more machmir way of looking at it. Let's see what those brises are. They essentially reiterate what we just said. So Tanya Kalishna Kama, we have the brisa that says the more lenient opinion that a kezayis can sometimes be batel on the bottom, and a less than a kezayis is always batel, from the following brisa. Batzek, if you have a dough, a chometz stick of dough, shebesidke areva, that's in these cracks of the areva. So it depends where it is. B'makamah, so l'chazek, if it's on the bottom part, so then it's not considered a chatzitza, and no chotzes, because you want it to be there, and it's not something that you're makbid about, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. Then over. And likewise, since you're subordinate to the trough, you're not over by your or by your matzah. You're not over for having chametz in your possession. Now, that's on the bottom part, which is exactly like the first version, that even more than a kezayis is not something that's a problem. Now, but in the upper half, where you don't need it so much there, so then, if you have more than a kezayis, it's chotzeitz, it's a chatzitza, for over, and you're going to be over by your or. So therefore, it's a problem. However, b'medvar mavurim, that's only b'chazayis. That's only if you have in the upper half, if you have more than a chazayis. Then it's a problem, exactly like the first version of Shmuel said. Avol b'pachos b'chazayis, if you're less than a chazayis, even on the top part, afil b'mokum she'ein osur l'chazik, ein l'chotzis, ve'no over. It's not a chatzitza, because it's insignificant, and ve'no over. And it's not considered a significant amount for you to be over by your yemotze, at least on a deraisa level. That's the first brisa that's in support of the first version. Second brisa of Tanya Kilishna Masra. The second brisa is exactly following the second version. Here again, the kizayis is always going to be usher, and only on some situations is pachas kizayis on the bottom part going to be mutter, and on the top part even less than kizayis is usher. So what does this brisa say? Batzik shebesit ke'areva. Again, we're dealing with a chometz thicker dough that's inside the cracks of this areva. So it depends. On the bottom part, on the bottom part where you do need it to hold it, we turn to the Amud Beis, there, ain't a chotz, it's been over. We'll see in a moment, we're talking about that it's less than a kizayis. So this is not going to be chotzes on the bottom part because it's insignificant, and it's not going to be over because it's insignificant. That's on the bottom part. But Malkum Sha'in also lechazek, but on the top part, it is considered significant, even if it's less than a kizayis. Chotzes, it's, and therefore it's going to make a chatzitza for the tvila, and over, you're going to be over by your rock. Now, under what circumstances are we talking about? Mamadar, Mavurim, under what circumstances this is talking about Bepachas Mekizayis, as I just explained, like the second version of Amar Yehuda Meshul, the more Machmir position, that the only heter is for less than a Kizayis on the bottom part, but less than a Kizayis on the upper part is not Batel, and it's a problem. And that's Bepachas Mekizayis, but Mamadar, Mavurim, that's only Bepachas Mekizayis is in the Smachlok, is the difference between the bottom part and the top part. Avol b'chazayis, when you're dealing with chazayis, avilu b'makom asil chazik. Even on the bottom part, it's chotze, it's over. It would form a chatzitza, and you'd be over. So this price is exactly in accord with the second opinion of Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. So Gemara says, kashina dodi. They're a stira between them. They're contradicting each other. How can this possibly be? So the Maram Chalava says that we normally do this all the time. We constantly have two brises in conflict with each other. So what's your problem over here? So he explains this, that the Gemara is really asking, when you're saying Kashna Dadi, which is the correct version? We have it all the time. But how do we paskin? What is the correct answer over here? That's really how he explains the Gemara, Kashna Dadi. Otherwise, he says you have this throughout Shas, that you have brises in conflict with each other. So Rav Huna gives the following teretz. You're right. And this fits in very well with the Maram Chalava's understanding. The Gemara is asking which one is correct. So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna says that take away, Samei, remove from here, Kilsa, the first lenient version of Amar Yehuda Meshmul, the first Braisa, because that is incorrect. Take that one away, Samei Kilsa, Mikamei Chamirta. Remove the more lenient one in the setting of the more severe one. In other words, throw away the first Braisa. That's incorrect. And Tzlach explains, because this is Sofik Daraisa L'chumra. We're dealing here with Chometz, and therefore it's a Sofik Daraisa, and therefore when we're in doubt as to a Sofik, whether something is Heter or Usser, so when it's a Sofik Daraisa, we go L'chumra. So that's why Rav Huna says, remove the Braisa that was lenient, that's obviously incorrect, and keep the Braisa that's more Chomer. Keep the second version of Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, and saying that under no circumstances is a Kizayis ever permissible, and even Pachas Mekizayis is only permissible on the bottom half, but not permissible on the top half. That's Rav Huna's teretz. Rav Yosef disagrees. Rav Yosef Amar, no. Tanoi, Shaklis Mi'alma, what, it's impossible to have a Machlokas Tanoim? There's two Tanoim over here. There's two different opinions. And how do you learn this out? He says, this is a Machlokas Tanoim he. Tanoim he. And I'll show you this is true, because I'll show you another place that we have exactly this machlokas. The Tanya, we have a different brisa, which deals with hapas shevsha. If you have chometz pas, bread, but it's spoiled. So under certain circumstances, it's no longer considered pas. So this brisa says, nevertheless, chayv levar. You have to go and get rid of this chometz tikka moldy bread. Why is that? Because it's still useful. What would it be useful for? You could grind this up and take this bread that's chametz, and go and take this ground up bread and put it into another dough, and it would be able to be machmitz the other dough. This would be like taking a leavening agent and putting it into your flour, and it will make it go and become chametz. So therefore, since it still has usage, this pas shivsha, this spoiled bread, this moldy bread, it still has potential usage, so therefore it isn't considered insignificant and chayav levar, because you could grind it up and use it. And what would you use it for? And you could go and, as I said, use it to go and make chametz other doughs. You could use it like as a sourdough and make the other doughs chametz. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Therefore, even this pas she'ifsha is considered significant, and it must be mevayer. You have to burn it. You have to get rid of it. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar disagrees. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, no. When did we say that chayiv levayer, this pas she'ifsha, it's only b'mekuyames li'achila, if it's still edible. However, if something is not edible, so this pas she'ifsha, if it would be inedible, as, for example, if you have a block of sa'or, avol kofes sa'or, if you have a large piece of sa'or, certainly more than a kezayis, and what you're doing is saying, I'm going to use this not as a food item, but I'm going to use it as a chair. It's a nice hard piece of sa'or, shiyicha dal yeshiva, and I'm going to use it as a chair. It's my new living room furniture. So this kofes sa'or, if you've designated it for non-eating purposes, li yeshiva, butler, it loses its status of a food, it's, so to say, nullified, and now becomes furniture. And therefore, even though it's more than a kezayis, it is able to be nullified. Ah, the Gemara says, this is exactly the machlokas. Rav Yosef tells us, this is exactly the machlokas between the two brises. One brisa says that you can't nullify a kezayis, that's the second brisa, and the first brisa says you can nullify more than a kezayis. So the first brisa is going to be the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and the second brisa is going to be the Tanakhama of Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So, me, Dama Rav Shimon ben Elazar Batla, since you see from this brisa, this new brisa that we just brought down, not the first two, but this new brisa that says, Kofes Sar Shicha de Lishiva is Batla, that's Rav Shimon ben Elazar's opinion, Miklal. Therefore, the Tanakhama must hold, he's arguing with Rav Shimon ben Elazar, the Tanakhama Sabra lo Batla. The Tanakhama says, you would have this Kofes of Sar is not Batla. It's only Rav Shimon ben Elazar who says, if it's edible, and it's being used for food, then it must be mevayer. But if it's no longer being used for food, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, it's batla. But the Tanakhama apparently argues with Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and he says, even if it's a kezayis that's not used for food, you can't be mevatel it. And therefore, Mechlal, the Tanakhama, sover lo batla. Alma, what do you see according to the Tanakhama? Kesavra, kol kezayis, this block, this kofes of sar, which is more than a kezayis, even though afogav the mivatel, babatel, even though you're designating it no longer as food, so you might have thought that it's batel, you've made it batel from being a food, but it's not batel from being a din of chametz, lo batel. Ah, so this is exactly like I pointed out. Rav Yosef says, the first brisa goes like a Shimon ben Elazar, that's lenient and says, you can be mivatel, even a kezayis of chametz in the bottom part of the trough. And the second brisa, which says you can't, that goes according to the Tanakhama of Shimon ben Elazar that says you can't be mevatel a more than a kezayis piece of chametz. Even if you designated it to be the filling in of the cracks, or you designated it to be a chair, that doesn't work. So Rav Yossi says, no problem. Why are you saying that there are no Tanoim in the world? It don't have to be a kasha. There's two different opinions over here. The first brisa is the opinion of one Tana. The second brisa is the opinion of a different Tana. Everything is good. Mor says, not necessarily so. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, you only answered up part of the problem. But if you look at it carefully, you haven't answered up the other part. Because Torah Tzduk b'chazayis, you reconcile these two brises as to whether a kezayis can be batel or not. The first brisa, which said that a kezayis can be batel, that was the opinion of Shimon ben Elazar. Very good. And the second brisa, which said a kezayis can't be batel, that was the opinion of the Tanakhama of Shimon ben Elazar. And that was good. So Teratz the Bechazayis, you definitely got rid of that problem. But what about the Pachos Mikizayis? Pachos Mikizayis, Mi Teratz the, you never gave us an answer to the other part. According to the first Brisa, a Pachos Mikizayis is always Batel. And according to the second Brisa, a Pachos Mikizayis is only Batel in the bottom part of the trough, but not in the top part of the trough. Now, that's a machlokas between the first and second brisa that you haven't reconciled, because that has nothing to do with the machlokas of the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon ben Elazar. They don't mention anything about a pachos mikizayis, so you can't bring me a raya that they're arguing the first and second brisa in accord with the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon ben Elazar. There's no raya, no proof that they have any difference of opinion in regards to pachos mikizayis. So Abaye says, therefore, Rav Yosef, respectfully, Merebi, your teretz isn't a good teretz. It only resolved half the problem, half the stira. Didn't resolve the other half. It only resolved the stira of more than a kezayis. Didn't resolve the stira between them for pachos mikezayis. So therefore, Abaye says, in fact, the two brises are not even in conflict with each other. Eloha v'ha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. You misread these two brisos. In fact, they're one author. And here we introduce what I said before, that there are actually three parts to the trough. Not a bottom part that's lechazek and a top part, the wall, that's not lechazek. You're right. If you only learn it out two parts, then the brises are inconsistent with each other and there's no way to reconcile them as being the same author. But if in fact we say that there are three areas of the trough, you have the bottom area of the chazek, then you have an area where it isn't actually always being held, but you're still mixing it in that area quite often. As you mix it, it goes up a little bit. And then you have the top part, that's never really mixed in at all. So you have the lower part, you have a middle part, and you have an upper part. And now the two brises can be reconciled because they're not talking about the same thing. The first lenient brisa is talking about the bottom and the middle. And the second, more machmir brisa, is talking about the middle and the top. That's the understanding that we'll have. Now we'll see it inside. There's no steer between the two brises. One is talking about ha-bimokum lisha, and ha shelo bimokum lisha. One is talking about where we do the lisha, and one is talking about where we don't do the lisha. Now, where we do the lisha is described as area 1 and 2. And where we don't do the lisha is described by that Tana as area 2 and 3. So the bottom and the middle is the area where we call b'makom lisha according to brisa number 1. And the area that brisa number 2 calls shalom b'makom lisha is the middle and the top, area 2 and area 3. And now let's understand this better. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi says, Lo temo shalom b'makom lisha agabo diagono. Don't say that it means the area where we talk about that you don't do lisha at all. Don't think that that's talking about agaba on the top of the agona. The ogen of the kli is the outside of this trough. That's not what it's referring to, that the butzik is on the outside of the trough. That's not the area that we refer to when we say shalom b'makom lisha. Agaba the agona means the outside of the trough, an area 4. No. Elo asifso the agona. It's talking about the lip, the svas, the lip of the agana, the top part of the trough, and therefore that's area 3. That's the top part where you never do any real kneading. And that's what Ravashi explains that Abai is talking about, that there are three areas here. Area 1 at the bottom, that's definitely, everybody agrees, where you do the kneading. And the area 2, the middle area, so it depends. In the context of area 1, it's also called the place where you do the kneading. But in the context of the top area, where you don't do any kneading at all, so then it's considered an area that you don't do kneading. So this answer that Ravashi gives, the one says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? What were you exactly telling us more than Abaya taught us? So the one says, no. Ma'al de Tamar, I might have said, the zimno di otif umote lohasam, that sometimes when you're kneading the dough, as it's rising or as it's getting worked on, it's going to actually go all the way up to area number 3. And area number 3 is also, the top part could also be considered an area that's called Makum Lisha. So Kamash 1, Ravashi is saying, no, area 3, the top part, is never considered Makum Lisha. So now, how do you reconcile these two brises? After we said Abaye's Teretz is explained by Ravashi, it goes as follows. In the first brisa, it's talking about area 1 and 2. So in area 1, everybody agrees, including the second brisa, because the second brisa doesn't talk about area 1, that if you have more than a kizayis in the bottom area, it's still batel. That's the Makum Lisha. And it's only in area 2. If you have more than a kezayis, it's no good. If you have less than a kezayis, it's good. The second brisa doesn't disagree with that. The second brisa is talking about in area 2. They also agree that if you have more than a kezayis, it's no good. If you have less than a kezayis, it's batel. And in area 3, then if you have even less than a kezayis, then it's a problem. And the first brisa agrees with that. They're talking about two different discussions. First brisa is 1 and 2. Second brisa is 2 and 3. They all agree on the din in 1 and 3, just each one doesn't talk about it, and they both say the exact same thing about area 2. They just say it in a different way, but the bottom line is there's no stira, and Abaya terraces up the seemingly stira between the two brises by saying that one author, Shimon Elazar, who holds that a kezayis can be bato, but only in the right place. And he says, a pachasmi kezayis can be bato, but only in the right place. And sometimes even a pachasmi kezayis is not bato in the right place, and everything is good. Now the Gemara continues and says, Omer Rav Nachman Omer Rav, how do we paskin halacha ki Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? This din of Rabbi Shimon Elazar, that if you're mevatel, you say that this is no longer food, I'm using this as a block, like this kofes sa'ar, I'm going to use it as a chair, or I'm using it to fill in the bottom part of the trough with this dough, so then it's batel, and in fact, even more than a kezayis can be batel and wouldn't be a chatzitza. That's what Rav Nachman Omer Rav says, that's how we paskin. More questions this. Ini, is this really so? But I'll show you, the Rav disagrees. Bama, you're telling me, Rav Nachman, you're saying the name of Rav, but Bama Rav Yitzchak Barashi Amar Rav, we have another statement in the name of Rav that says, Im toch poner betit, only in this kofes of Sa'ar, if you want to make this block of Sa'ar, this pure chametz, if you want to make it eligible to be used as a chair, you have to smear it over here Toch panel betit. You have to put some sort of a tit, some sort of a mud, some sort of a plaster on it so that the aspect of the sore is not easily reachable. You're covering it up, you're plastering it, you're sealing it, then you don't worry about the stuff that's inside. So im toch panel betit, then it's batla. But that's what Rav Yitzchak Barashi said in the name of Rav, implication being only if you're toch betit is it considered batel in. If you're not toch betit, lo toch, then lo batel. It's not batel. So this statement of Rav Yitzchak Barashi in the name of Rav is different than the statement that Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav that we passed on Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar didn't qualify toch, not toch. Rav Shimon Elazar just said straight out. Whereas if we're saying that Rav paskin like that, then how could Rav have said it? It makes a difference whether you're toch or not. So Gemara says, you're right, taka, man de masliha, lo masliha. According to Rav Yitzchak Barashi, Rav never said that the halach is like Rav Shimon Elazar. He said it's only if toch, the halach is like Rav Shimon Elazar. But if not toch, the halach is not like Rav Shimon Elazar. And Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav, that no, Rav never said that there's a distinction between toch and not toch. He says the halach is straight out like Rav Shimon Elazar. We have two opinions that are contradictory as to what Rav said. El dirikum chayim. Rav Nachman said what he heard from the Rebbe, and Rav Yitzchak Barashi said what he thought he heard from the Rebbe. And therefore, man de masliha, lo masliha. The one that said this didn't say that. Alternatively, no, ikad di amre, we could say that they're not necessarily in disagreement. Amr Rav Nachman Amar Rav, ain halachic Rav Shimon Elazar. In fact, Rav Nachman Amar Rav said was that we do not paskel like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, because we have the statement, Amr Rav Yitzchak Barashi Amar Rav, that Rav had qualified it and said it depends. Im toch panel betit. If, in fact, you smeared it, you covered it up, this block, this kofes of sar with tit, so it's not available, so then batla. But v'chule, if you didn't cover it up, then we don't follow that. So therefore, Rav Nachman Amar Rav and Rav Yitzchak Barashi Amar Rav say the exact same thing, and therefore there's no stira between them. But you have to change around the girsa and say that Rav Nachman Amar Rav said ain halachic Rav Shimon Elazar, not that the halach is like Rav Shimon Elazar. Another statement from Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Amar Rav Nachman, here he says the name of Shmuel, shnei chatzai zesim. If you have two chatzi zesim, and they're, let's say, in a trough, and you would not say that each one, either of them is significant because it's pachos mikizayis. So let's say it's in the bottom of the trough, and therefore it's not considered significant, or even in the middle of the trough, it's not considered significant, but v'chut shel batzek b'nehem, but there's a thread of the batzek that's connecting them. So do we say that this thread connects them, and now they're a significant amount of kizayis? So in the middle of the trough, this would ruin it. So Gemara says, you have to look at to see this crack that's connecting them, this chutzel batzik that's running through this crack that's connecting them, how sturdy it is. Roan, you have to view it as follows. If kol shilu yinotel achut, v'nitol nimo, if you were to pick up this chut, if you were to pick up this dough that's in this crack, and the left and the right of it, the chatzi zayis on the left and the chatzi zayis on the right of it that it's connected to, would come with it. In other words, it's sturdy, it's strong enough that when you pick up the middle part, you're picking up to the left and the right, and now you have the full shear of the kizayis being picked up. Shilu yinot alachot, v'nitol animo, then chayv levar. Then in that situation, it's considered a kizayis, and since it's in the middle part of the trough, you'd have to go and burn it. V'yam lav. But if not, in other words, it would break, it would snap. It doesn't have the strength to go pick up both sides. So then we view it as a chatzi zayis on the left, and it's not really attached, even though there's a thin thread between it, to the chatzi zayis on the right. And we view it as two pachos mikizayises, and eino chayav levar. You don't have to burn it in that situation because it's the middle part of the trough, and a pachos mikizayis, we said, is not required to be burned. Amar Ula says, wait a second. Lo Amar, we only said this statement, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, we only said this, Ela B'Areva. That's when you're dealing with the trough. The middle part of the trough, as we said. If these things are in the house, not in a trough, you just have them in your house and it's connected by this thin thread, then in this situation, you got to go and burn it. Why is that? How come? My taima, what's the reasoning that there's a difference between the house and the trough? Because in the house, the zimnim, the konish lahu, the nafle gabe hadode. Because you know what's going to happen in the house? You're going to say, I don't want my floor schmutzedik. I don't want my floor dirty. I'm sweeping my floor. And these two pieces that are connected to each other with this very thin thread, and even though if you picked it up by this thin thread, it would break, but now you're sweeping it all together, and they're actually going to come into contact with each other. The nafle gabe hadode. So therefore, in this situation, when you sweep it up, you're going to have them right next to each other. So that's considered like you have the kizayis mole. You have a full kizayis in that one sweeping up basket that you're putting it swept into, and therefore it is a concern and you have to be invited. So now we ask the following question. Omar Ula. Ula said, based upon what I just told you, that you have to be concerned in the house of sweeping it up. What about the following situations? Moreover, they asked in Eretz Yisrael the following shailas. Ula would constantly come back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, and he would tell them the halachas back and forth. So he said, they asked in Eretz Yisrael the following question. Bias the aliyah. We just said bias in the same house, chayv levar, based upon this principle that you may come to sweep it up, and they'll then be together. But what about the first story and the second story? The aliyah is the attic, the second story. If you have a half a kezayis in one and half a kezayis in the other, are we concerned that zimnim de konishlu, that you're going to sweep them together, v'naflu gabi adadi, and they're going to get together again, because when you sweep them together, they may come together. So do we say, well, in the same house, yes, but not in a house in a second floor. Likewise, what about bayis v'achsadra? If you have inside the house, and then you have the achsadra, which is like a area outside the house, which is covered up, it's not sealed in with walls, but it has a ceiling, and it has posts in the four corners. And it's like a open area, but you could theoretically want to sweep that with the house as well. So are we concerned or not concerned? Similar to the case of the main story and the second story, what about the main story and the outer area, the area called the achsadra? And likewise, if you have shnei batim, zelif nimizeh, and you have a house within a house, we talked about this many times in the war in Erevin, you have a inner room that the only exit from it is going through the outer room. So in this situation also, are we or are we not concerned that you'll sweep from one into the other? So in all of these situations, if you had a half a gezayis inside and in the bayis, on the ground floor, and either half a gezayis in the aliyah, in the top floor, in the attic, or half a gezayis in the achsadra, or half a gezayis on the inner house, the inner room. So in all of these situations, mahu, are we concerned the zimnim nechonish lehu v'nafli gabi adadei? Are we concerned that you sweep them together and they could possibly come together? As we said, we are concerned, Ula said, with one house. Or we say, no, these are two separate areas and there's no concern that you come to sweep them together. The Gemara leaves it with a take, or we don't give an answer to this. Now the Gemara continues and says, Tana Rabbanan, and we learned in the following braisa about hapas shivsha, if you have bread that became spoiled, it's now moldy, the nifsul of melech liyodim, and no human being would eat this anymore. However, your dog would be very happy with it. Ba'kelev yochel yochla, your dog would jump at it and eat it. How do we view this in terms of being makabel tuma? So mitama tumas ochlin b'chabeitza. As with all other areas of shas, with tuma, we have a machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Rashi says that any size, even Pachas Mikabetza, has the ability to accept Tumah. And the whole question of Kibetza is needed to transmit Tumah. And Tosus disagrees. Tosus says not only to transmit Tumah, you need to have a Kibetza to accept Tumah. So again, we'll learn simple like Rashi. And this question over here, that if it's edible for a dog, it's Royal Achilles Kele, but it's not Royal Achilles Adam. So this Brisa says that it's Metama Tumas Ochlin Kibetza, that the Dinim of Tumah apply to it just like they always do with the Kibetza. So according to Rashi, it could not transmit Tumah, unless it was a kibetz's worth. That's the critical factor. And therefore, v'nisrefes imatmeya b'Pesach, if it's truma, even though it's tahora, you have to burn it because it's chametz before Pesach, v'nisrefes imatmeya b'Pesach, and there's no concern over here, as we learned on Daf Yudalit with the whole sugya, the famous sugya of Rebbe Chanina, Skana Kohanim, we talked about burning the tame with the tar. We had all the different situations there. So you have to go burn this, even though it's tahori, you could burn it with tamei on Erev Pesach. And that is the opinion of the Tanakama, that we consider this, if it's still royal achilas kelev, as being able to be called a food in terms of accepting tumah, transmitting tumah, and that it has to be burned. It's significant that you have to go and burn it, and you would even be allowed to burn it with truma that is tameya, or something that is tameya, even though it is tahora, because that's the din that you'll have to burn it on Erev Pesach. That's the opinion of Tanakama, and Rabbi Nosson disagrees. Mishum Rabbi Nosson Amru, however, Rabbi Nosson, they said in his name, he disagreed. Eino metama. He says, no, if it's not royal achilas adam, if it's only royal achilas kelev, he says it's not capable of accepting tuma. Now, kiman azlo hoditnan, based upon this brisa that we just brought down, which opinion is seen in this Mishnah in Taharos. The Mishnah in Taharos says, Klal Omru Taharos. There was a general rule that they said regarding Taharos. Kol HaMiyuchad LiOchel Adam, if something is designated for Oichel Adam, in other words, it's Royal Achilas Adam, so then it has the ability of being Matame, it can accept Tumah. Tame, it can accept Tumah. However, only can accept Tumah, Achi possible Echel Akelet. It can only no longer accept Tumah if even a dog won't eat it. But as long as a dog would still eat it, once it was designated for a person, so even if it's spoiled, but it's spoiled not to the point where a dog wouldn't eat it, So then it still is tame. But if it spoils to the point where a dog would need it, then it loses its tame status. Kiman, who is this like? The low, ki Rabbi Nosson. This is not like Rabbi Nosson. Because Rabbi Nosson said that as soon as it becomes possible or no longer roy, liachilas adam, so then it already loses its status. As we just brought down, that was what Mishra Rabbi Nosson said, enu matama, when it goes beyond the state of roy liachilas adam. But if it's still roy liachilas kelev, he says it's no longer tame, but this Mishnah in Taharo says it is tame still until it becomes no longer roy lechiles kelev. Achi if also milechul kelev. So therefore, the Tanakama of this Brisa, the Tanakama Rabbi Nosson, is the author of that Mishnah. Likewise, Tanur Rabban will learn another Brisa. Arevas ho abdonin. And Abdonim are tanners. Now, tanners, they work with some very foul-smelling products. They work with dog excrement. And whatever they have when they're doing the tanning is going to stink to the high heavens. So this Arevas ho Abdonim, this trough where the Abdonim are working, now they work with flour. Part of the tanning process works with flour, and that would become potentially chametz under normal circumstances. But here they're mixing it with all the excrement, and they're mixing it with other things. So this Arevas ho Abdonim, shenosan l'socha kemach tok shlosh yomim. If you put flour into it within 3 days before Pesach, so the Tanakami here says, Chayv Levayer, because in this point, it still has edibility to it. It hasn't been totally ruined, even though it's in this horrible bowl, this tanner's bowl, this tanner's trough. Nevertheless, if within 3 days before Pesach, it isn't totally destroyed to the point where it's not food. So that's if you put it in there within 3 days of Pesach. The tocha kemach tosh shlosha yamim chayv levayer. However, kodem shlosha yamim, if you put it in this flour, this chametz that you put in there more than 3 days before Pesach, so then it's so destroyed, it's already considered not edible at all, and it's not chametz enu chayv levayer. You don't have to get rid of it. That's the Tanakama. And again, Amar Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson says no. Depends. The medvar mamurim. It depends. Shelo nosan socha oros. If this tanner's trough has not been used yet for tanning, so then that's when this is true. I agree with you that if it's more than 3 days, it's still going to be ruined. If it's less than 3 days, it's not going to be ruined. But if they already started putting in the tanning process, this was being used as a tanning bowl, shalom nosa, but avol nosa l'socha oros, if you in fact had started putting in oros here, so then it stings to the high heavens, afilu to shlosha in chay levar. Then even within 3 days before Pesach, if you put in real chametz right before Pesach, but the fact that it's put into the disgusting tanning bowl, that makes it no longer edible. And Amar Rava says, Halachik Rabbi Nosson, we pass through here like Rabbi Nosson, afilu yom echad, afilu shachas, even for one little bit of time, 10 minutes before Pesach starts, before the chiv to burn the chametz sas, you put it into the disgusting excrement-filled bowl, so then it's no longer considered something that you have to be concerned about. Now we go back to our Mishnah, finally. Our Mishnah said, V'chein l'inyan tumah. I pointed out then, this likewise also in regards to the inyan of tumah, you have the same problem. But the Reisha was talking about kezayis, the second part is talking about whether you're makbid or not on it. So Gemara says, we quote the Mishnah, that's what the Mishnah said. Now, mi dami, why you say v'chein? The two aren't comparable. Why do you use this lashon v'chein? Hosom, in the first part, b'shur taimos, we said, is there a kezayis or not a kezayis? Pachim b'kezayis or kezayis? That's in the first part of the Mishnah. In the second part of the Mishnah, hachim k'fei the taimos, it depends whether you're makbid or not. If you're makbid, so then it's chotzeit, and it has to be burned. If you're not makbid, then it doesn't. So, why did this v'chein? So your Yehuda says you're right. Omer Yehuda. Yehuda says taki you're right. Eimo ulinyan atumah eino kein. In regards to tumah, we use a different principle. Eino kein. Abai doesn't like that terence. So I'm like Abai. Ha v'chein linyan tumah tani. The Mishnah, the girsa was v'chein. It's not so easy to go just switch around girsas and mishnayas. It said v'chein. So you have to explain v'chein. You can't just delete it as Rav Yehuda did. So Abai says el Omer Abai hachi komar. This is the way you have to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah says as follows, V'chein, when it says, and also, we turn to Mem Vav Amud Aleph, in regards, L'inyan Siruv Tumah B'Pesach, in regards to saying, can it combine to make the Siruv Tumah B'Pesach? That's when we say that it is considered V'chein, that you need to have a significant amount. However, U'bishayim Osa Shana Ika Plukta, but in the rest of the year, not during Pesach, so then we use a different amount. We don't use a kezayis. For the rest of the year, we use hakpada, whether you're makbid on it or not. Hechidami, what do we mean? Kigon diika pochmi kebetsa ochlin. For example, the rest of the year, if you have less than a kebetsa's worth of food, v'nagu b'hai botzik, and it touched this dough that was inside this trough. So, depends. the Pesach, the Isur HaChoshev, on Pesach, where we consider any small amount something that's significant, so mitztarif, it can go and combine with it to make the kibbutz's worth of food. However, b'shayim osashana, the rest of the year, we don't look at the size of the food to say whether it's significant or not. For the rest of the year, the b'kipeda talia milsa, do you want it there or not? If you really don't want it there, it's considered chashuv, regardless of the size. If you really don't care, and you don't want it there, so then we don't consider it, even if the size is there. So the b'kipeda talia milsa the rest of the year. In machbid love, if you really don't want it there, then it's mitztarif, because then it's considered a separate item, and it can combine to meet the shear of a kibbutzah. However, in rotsu b'chiyumo, but if you want it to be there to fill in the cracks, so then it's subordinate to the areva, harehi ki areva, and therefore, what the Mishnah is saying, v'chein, on Pesach, we use a kizayis, in terms of being, whether it's a combining, to make the shear of a kibbutzah. But, the rest of the year, we don't look at the size in terms of the kizayis, and not to say that it's significant, we say, are you makbid, the peda, that's the critical factor. That's the distinction why we can say v'chein, because during Pesach time, it is v'chein, it's just the shayim osa shana that it's not. Now this will be questioned a lot more tomorrow, but this is a good break point. We'll stop the shiur over here today.